from her tired palms, her oldest blueprints for existing. The women in my family have always been the most original. Trust them to find a way to do something when every easy option is gone. Turn the blouse backwards and now it fits better. Roll up the sleeves, remove shoulder pads, learn to sew so you can hem your own clothes. What can you create when the only thing in front of you is your hands? How fast can you think? How deliberate can you be? Can you imagine something better than what you have, then make the thing you have better? Who taught you to make a solution where there is none? Who was it that said adapt or die? And did they meet my mother, queen of couponing and early morning yard sales before the Texas heat brushes the back of the neck? When I tell you department stores overwhelm me, what I mean is 15% off is not a sale. I'm not even sure why they have sales, because I'm not showing up till it goes on clearance. Mom says everything goes on clearance. Mom also says the only things you should buy new are shoes and underwear, that just because you don't have money doesn't mean you can't be sanitary. Don't leave the store until you've seen everything. The selection changes every day. Every 24 hours, a handful of new chances to become an artist. My mom says she used to write poetry. My father, when he was alive, was a dancer. Did I learn grace? Or was it passed through the blood? Have I always been creative and practical? Today, I bought 2 sweaters, 2 belts, and a mason jar for $3. Texted my mom, thinking of you.
Trying to forget. The hardest part of trying to forget is the remembering forgetting brings back. I thought you were like the things that have happened, things and thoughts I'd put away. But you are you, more than can just be put away. How frivolous of me to assume I could regard you as a thing or a thought. Trying to forget only makes me remember emotions we share in our spirit hearts. The delights and the anger so vital. Our wildness making us quick to burn bridges behind us and ahead of us. Changing compromise to submit. Looking for happiness, finding regret. Sometimes you appear. It's in a song, a phrase. Sometimes it's a laugh. Sometimes it's a vision of you near to me. Or a remembrance of a touch, a kiss, or some silly thought we shared. Times are, I wonder what went wrong. Maybe our impatience stopped us from taking the time to learn what we thought we already knew. Trying to forget only makes me remember you. When you left, I knew you had to go. Water came into my eyes, I cried, then I laughed. Because sometimes I just don't know. I wanted you to stay, but you weren't really here anyway. Or if you were, it was for just a while. I've run it through my mind and rerun it through my heart. I loved you more than I could say or show. Like I say, I loved you more, but that's something only I could know. Water came into my eyes, I cried, then I laughed. What's the difference anyway? Laughing and crying, the tears taste just the same. I held you, but I didn't hold you. And in the end, I guess, I only kept myself. Her beauty is like a dancer in the night.
For a day like today, bright and shining, soca glory. Everyone with a flag and a smile on their face. Lordy daddy of every creed and race, Lord. Phenomenal, I love the atmosphere. If the Lord is our shepherd, who shall be here?
Pakistan. Yes, the Pakistan down here, CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial. We are at, on 40th Avenue on the 4.5 floor University of Winnipeg, Manitoba Hall, Centennial Hall. Come check it out. Come look for it. That's where we are. And that's where we will go as far as we can. Pushing hard stories, pushing hard music, pushing messages. Love and kindness. Hold tight.
We are best by the best. I suggest we thank the Father in heaven for every soul that.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
I just want to say welcome to your building. This building belongs to you, the people of Manitoba, and so we are so happy to be able to open it up to you to come celebrate the best time of year.
The Manitoba Legislative Building was turned into a winter wonderland on Saturday as the annual holiday open house kicked off the festive season, and Premier Wab Kanu invited the public to come out and celebrate the holidays.
We have so much to be thankful for, celebrating Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa and the solstice and even my birthday. That we're just so overjoyed that you can be here to celebrate with us.
The legislature halls were decked with boughs of holly, with carolers, holiday treats, and even the big man himself making an appearance. It's the second year in a row the holiday open house was held, after being suspended in 2020 and 2021 due to the pandemic, and again in 2022 due to safety concerns. And now it's clear the return of the event is a welcome sight to the public.
I think it's very self-educating, and we enjoyed ourselves, and hopefully everyone else is doing the same.
Pretty nice looking. Like, that's like my first time here, and like, it's nice that like they organized it all.
Very nice, yeah. And the building looks beautiful with all the decorations.
I'm a huge fan of the legislative building here. I love bringing my kids and getting them interested in politics as best as I can. So it's a great day here.
And before the premier wrapped up his speech, he left Manitobans with a heartfelt message this holiday season.
Let's remember that the thing that unites us as Manitobans at this time of year and every single day of the year is generosity. So let's be kind, let's be happy, and let's be generous. Sound good?
In Winnipeg, Eddie Huband, City News.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
The most got fire. With some new different from Trinidad folk music. Christina and Christina. You can hear by the language, Patois, that this was almost colonially imposed. It's sung in Patois, but it's
never never
dream. They want to kill me. That's how we think we're laughing dead. That's how we think we're. That's how we think we're laughing dead. That's how we think we're.
Pan Am North Stars. I think this one is the Devil's Daughter. Devil's Daughter, that was Elvira Ricario. Dig it.
I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
Slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing, I really need the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my can sprayers. players. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceners, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and our uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
I want my arms around you for Christmas.
Rebecca.
I need no presents under the tree. You're all I want, my darling. And that will be to share your kisses for Christmas. The rest is on me, tinsel and show. As far as I'm concerned, Santa doesn't have to load his sleigh. He can mark my other gifts returned or give them all away. I only want your loving for Christmas. No other kind of present will do. You're all I want, my darling. Please want me to.
Christmas like growing up in the ghetto.
It was the night before Christmas, cuddled up with the missus. Chestnuts roasted on an open flame with the kisses. Mom's doing the dishes, grandmom's baking the biscuits. Nah, it was the night before Christmas. We don't hear no jingle bells, cause mom's overworked and he pops in the prison cell. The kid make his wish list, and it becomes just that, a wish list. He wish he could get the gifts that other kids get, but the money is tight and jobs is shiftless. And growing up broke, it turns him into a misfit. His granny wanna know what her grandson risked at Christmas. The auntie up the dough, M&M's and Crunch Bars, was handy for the clothes. Now the only candy he sold was candy for the nose. He got cheddar to blow, it's whatever to get the dough. In the ghetto, he put a whole new meaning to let it snow.
You're still listening to Fantastic Friday on CKW 95.9 FM on your dial in Winnipeg. This is Last People with Prince Obona, Princess Kim Solon, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and Johnny with Here But Never Here. And look out, look out. Also here sometimes is Princess Rachel, but here all the time is Princess Catherine. Making sure we're on the air.
It's Christmas, but you hear them sirens, right?
Look out.
Cause it ain't no silent nights, just violent nights. So tell me, how is this the season to be jolly when them youngins packing Raleigh and they gone off their molly. I ain't preaching, I like the little G's. I'm just trying to enlighten them before they see the lights from them D's. No Christmas lights, lighting up the peas. And the blunt and the dime bag is the only way they lighten up the trees. You can't identify with this, then use a stranger. Them boys in them buildings, brolic low in them bangers.
How I know?
This Christ wasn't born in the manger. Christ was born in the projects. Christ was born in the danger. So all my peoples in the slums, stay strong. Them cops that kill Eric Gardner, they wrong. So peace to Mike Brown, peace to Trayvon. They won't get to open up no gifts, cause they gone.
Hello everyone, my name is Nono and I come from all the way in South Africa. Please continue listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Oh yeah!
Identified Santa shot in the back. Witnesses say they heard two shots. Police say they came from a second-story window in a nearby building.
All a nigga ever want for Christmas is a new Glock. Santa can't slide around this bitch, this shit be too hot. But I seen the Grinch hit the L while playing Tupac. The only present niggas respect here is when they don't die. All I want for Christmas is a bag bigger Santa's. Nigga like Sway to come tell me all the answers. All my dogs ride with a nigga like Prancer. And if it's ever beef, then we slide like dancers. All I ever wanted. Santa don't come round this block. Santa come slide down the chimney, get shot. We don't got no chimneys, but we got a mop. We don't know no Chinese, but we got a wok. Ayy, stir the pot, ayy, stir the pot. Santa can't come down this block. Ayy, one wrong move, then his ass getting popped. A random white dude in my crib, I think not. Ho, ho, hoes by the fucking bolo. A nigga got the game in the fucking chokehold. Tell me who you know, nigga. Who you know? The elves I know over here, they carry poles. That's a little nigga with a chop. Clean up on Alpha. Rudolph got a red nose, but Timmy got a red dot. Second day of Christmas, niggas sipping on that blue dot. All I hear is boom bop. Niggas yelling, who shot? All the bitches over here be on that naughty list. Niggas can't give to the needy without recording it. Imagine if Santa did that. We won't
hey,
have to get up. But Santa ain't showing up
power
over here cause a
people.
Bunch of shit.
Power to the ghetto.
Santa don't come round this block. Santa come slide down the chimney, get shot. We don't got no chimneys, but we got a mop. We don't know no Chinese, but we got a wok. Ayy, stir the pot, ayy, stir the pot. Santa can't come down this block. Ayy, one wrong move, then his ass getting popped. A random white dude in my crib, I think not.
Thing that shall get washed out. What are the kingdom and the queen of come on, patch of the spread of time? One thing be after Lana, so watch out. Adam Mercy, watch me now. It name, murder me, wrote, I may not take back my chat. Shuffle the date, me and the queen in a day park. Look on me cute and sexy like that. I may plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, then what forgive me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call on me to over me, man, a fight. And that now one, no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with beer, I'm a first class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the UW. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Here it is. Yeah, man. Come in, man. Yeah.
Think you where you come from. As long as you're a black man.
A black woman or a black child. Yeah, man.
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity.
And perspicacity.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter. Because coming to you all the way from West Africa in a country called Nigeria, the body they call Prince Ogbonna, to bring you news and views from about with
African.
For African.
No mind your nationality.
Prince Ogbonna.
Yes, good morning, Rasuka, and good morning to all of our listeners. Unukedu Kekwan, greetings from Africa. Our first piece from the Mkosi now is Speaker Anthony Lowenstein, member of the Jewish Council of Australia, who comments on the Australia's worst mass shooting in nearly three decades.
I was celebrating Hanukkah at my home with my family. I'm not religious, but it's become, I guess, almost a cultural annual celebration with my family. There were two gunmen. I found out very quickly what was going on. It wasn't obviously entirely clear initially the extent of the carnage. We now know some more details. There's so much we still don't know about this horrific attack. It was clearly directed at the Jewish community. There was a public Hanukkah event on Bondi. For those who don't know, a lot of people know Bondi. It's an internationally famous beach. It's a very open place. There's lots of tourists, lots of Australians. It's obviously summer here, so it's obviously warm. And we have, it was light, so it gets dark here quite late being summer. And it was a celebration. Now, this horrific attack was not just terrorism, but it was directed at a Jewish community that has been, frankly, split for the last years around Israel-Palestine, which I know we'll get to in a minute. Now, there's no indication yet why this attack happened, the motives. There's some evidence and indication that these two killers were associated with ISIS or certainly radical Islamists. They traveled to the Philippines recently to potentially associate with some kind of Islamist groups. It's not 100% confirmed yet. But in short, I'm feeling sad and anger, actually, a lot of anger, because it's already being weaponized by the worst people imaginable to support incredibly draconian policies.
I wanted to turn to the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. He was speaking in Dimona on Sunday, accusing the Australian government of promoting anti-Semitism.
On August 17th, about 4 months ago, I sent Prime Minister Albanese of Australia a letter in which I gave him warning that the Australian government's policy was promoting and encouraging anti-Semitism in Australia. I wrote, "Your call for a Palestinian state pours fuel on the anti-Semitic fire. It rewards Hamas terrorism. It emboldens those who menace Australian Jews and encourages the Jew hatred now stalking your streets."
So that's the Israeli Prime Minister weighing in. Anthony Lowenstein, if you can respond and talk about the position of the Australian government. Albanese certainly came out quickly.
I mean, what a disgraceful human being. I'm talking about Netanyahu there. You know, within a few hours of this attack last night, Amy, a number of Israeli government ministers, Netanyahu, the foreign minister there, the minister for diaspora affairs, and many others, essentially wrote posts on social media suggesting that the Australian government recognized Palestine a few months ago, which is true, that somehow that was causing the terrorist attack. The fact that Australia has allowed, so the argument goes, pro-Palestine protests. Kind of connection is absolutely disgraceful. The idea that the Israeli government, a government that has overseen a genocide and mass slaughter for over 2 years in Gaza, is the moral arbiter of anything is farcical. And what's so worrying is that so much of the Australian media, many in the, I'd say, more pro-Israel Jewish community, somehow looks to Israel Netanyahu as a moral guide.
Our next one also comes from the Mkosi Now. Award-winning Palestinian reporter Mohammed Mouawish, who left Gaza last year, discusses his new piece for New York Magazine about Israel's surveillance practices.
You know, we've been living with a question for so long, even that goes long before this war started, and it's been live under and inside, you know, a state of like where surveillance is constant, you know, it's automated and it's largely invisible. And as a reporter, I've seen like a lot of coverage focusing on weapons and airstrikes and technology. But I think much less attention was paid to the systems that decide who is seen and how they're doing this in effect to the human life and the civilian population in Gaza, and how they're categorizing people, and how quickly and deadly life and death decisions can be made. And so that was the reason I wanted to understand what that feels like from the inside. And so in the story, I tried to report this, you know, away from being political, technological, or a military story, but as a human one. I spoke with families who described living with the sense that they were always being watched, they're always being heard and scored. And even, you know, in moments that should be private and ordinary, and that constant awareness, how it's reshaping how people speak, how they're moving, how they're even thinking. And there was also a sense of urgency because, like, you know, these systems are no longer experimental, right? They're, you know, they're being, you know, operational, they're being scaled up, and they're, you know, deeply embedded in life in Gaza. And once something like this becomes normalized in one place, it rarely stays there. And so, you know, as a result of my reporting, I have come to realize that Gaza, you know, it's been the testing ground for how surveillance can be used, an entire population in real time. I mean, people, you know, some of them told me and described to me a kind of a permanent self-monitoring, you know, in the aftermath of encountering these decisions and these systems and these, you know, regimes of being watched. And, you know, they're saying, like, you know, life starts to feel like you're always leaving a trail, sometimes of words, movements, associations that could later be misinterpreted. So in the story, people talk about, you know, changing how they speak on the phone, how they're avoiding certain phrases, certain conversations, certain ideas or topics, even in private, and they're limiting who they can contact. And you know, because sometimes even it's true that they're assuming that even silence can be suspicious.
Our next one also from Black Agenda Radio. We speak with the People's Assembly for Peace and Sovereignty of our Americas, who convened in Venezuela. They speak about the Trump administration declaring Venezuela as a no-fly zone.
Greetings to our friends, colleagues, and comrades in Venezuela. For over 20 years, the NLG and the IADL have tried to use their platforms to expose how the United States has been attempting to destroy the Bolivarian Revolution in furtherance of its imperialist and capitalist interests. We have seen Venezuela withstanding years of regime change efforts, including decades of criminal economic sanctions, the demonization of their leaders, Presidents Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro, the denial and delegitimization of the Inspiring People's Bolivarian Project, and countless violations of Venezuelan sovereignty. To not have the opportunity to be with you today, I was supposed to take part in the delegation that was ready to travel this week. And so as part of that delegation, but also as part of a national but also global progressive legal movement, I want to, on behalf of myself and the organizations I work with, condemn Trump's actions in Venezuela, including the actions they took that prevented us from being with you today, and express our unwavering solidarity. On November 29th, President Trump declared, without congressional approval or UN authorization or any legal authority, that Venezuelan airspace should be considered closed in its entirety. Almost immediately, pilots began reporting GPS interference and navigation and signal disruptions while approaching Caracas International Airport. Aviation analysts note that such disruptions mirror electronic warfare tactics that the U.S. has deployed in advance of military operations in other regions, including in the Middle East. The resulting climate of uncertainty triggered cascading flight suspensions and widespread anxiety among travelers, with at least 75% of international flights to Venezuela canceled as a result. For thousands of Venezuelans abroad, these disruptions have produced a humanitarian crisis for families attempting to return home for Christmas, stranded in airports from Madrid to Panama City. Elderly passengers have gone days without assistance, and many travelers have been forced to reroute through Bogota and across the Cucuta on foot just to reach Venezuelan territory. In response, the Venezuelan government has mobilized state-owned aircraft to assist stranded citizens and ensure reunification during the holiday season.
And next, Black Gender Radio, we speak with Abiyami Azikwe, editor of the Pan-African Newswire. He discusses the recent coup attempt in the West African nation of Benin. The coup ended with assistance from neighboring Nigeria and from France.
We also have to keep in mind what is happening and unfolding in Guinea-Bissau. Even though Guinea-Bissau is a former Portuguese colony, there was a purported coup there as well, which the opposition forces say, and even some of the neighboring states say, was staged for various reasons. So this gives you some idea of the dynamics that are taking place in West Africa. And of course, the United States, France are there. They are trying to reclaim their losses, which they see as being temporary. So it's going to be a lot of struggle in all these different states. And I think we have to judge each nation, each coup, military intervention in politics somewhat uniquely, but at the same time, it's a response to the crisis that exists in the region.
And France, what is France's interest in Benin and how were they involved in these events?
Well, it's a former colony of France. It was part of the French West Africa Empire, so to speak, that extended all the way from Algeria in the northwest through Morocco, Mauritania, Senegal, so Cote d'Ivoire. So all of these states were part of the French colonial empire in Africa. And they had their own military forces, even going back to World War I, World War II, the Senegal Rifles. So even during the post-independence period, which France was heavily involved in, with the exception of Algeria and Guinea, Conakry, and even Benin, there have been periods in its history where it has rejected French neocolonial role during the 70s and 80s. So yes, there is a prospect there, you know, for revolutionary change. Now, there are elections that were scheduled to be held in April. Perhaps this attempted coup had something to do with halting the elections, preventing them from taking place. In Guinea-Bissau, we saw that obviously the way in which the military intervened amidst Ntam, Horta Ntam, is the transitional leader now of Guinea-Bissau. They even confiscated the ballot boxes. They were right in the middle of tabulating results from the elections, which were already heavily flawed. Leading opposition figures were not even allowed to run for the presidency. For example, the leader of the PAIGC, the party that was formed by Amilcar Cabral, they had led a coalition 2 years ago, which has a majority in the National Assembly, yet they have not been able to exercise any really administrative authority over the government. So all of this is going on behind the scenes. Now, the president who left, Umaro Sissoco Embalo, first he went to Senegal, and the Senegalese president, Faye, didn't take him seriously through the prime minister, Sonko. Then he flew to Congo Brazzaville. That's the last place I've heard that he is. But no one takes this seriously. They thought it was some plot with him involved, and the military, because Guinea-Bissau has a tremendous amount of corruption within the government and the military. It's a major hub for drug trafficking into Europe from South America. And obviously the international law enforcement agencies know this. And they it's interesting how they're dealing with Guinea-Bissau as opposed to dealing with Benin.
So those were all of our pieces from Black Agenda Radio. We'll go back to Democracy Now, where we speak with Sudanese scholar Khalid Mustafa Mendani, who notes that the paramilitary rapid support forces in Sudan, backed by the United Arab Emirates, is accused of attempting to cover up its mass killings of civilians by burning and burying bodies. Stay tuned for that, and then afterwards we shall hear from Ibrahim.
What we're seeing through very high-resolution satellite imagery is at least 140 large piles of bodies that appear at the end of October into early November. And we see basically a pattern of activity by the rapid support forces that indicates they've been burning and burying bodies for almost the better part of 5 weeks. Meanwhile, we see none of the pattern of life that we expect to see in a place with civilians. There's grass growing in the main market in El Fasher. There's no activity at the water points or in the streets, and there's no sign of civilian vehicles such as donkey carts or cars. We see a ghost town where the only visible activity is rapid support forces and what's called their technicals, their armed pickup trucks, moving objects consistent with human remains around, burying them and burning them.
The problem is that it's not only El Fasher at the moment. As your guest noted, after 18 months of a siege in El Fasher in early November, it fell. But it's been 18 months of starvation of the local population of El Fasher. I want to highlight why El Fasher is so important strategically. It is a very important strategic and financial hub, not only for Western Sudan, but for the entire region. It has trade routes with Chad, Central African Republic, Libya. It's a source where gold is accessed and transported. It's a hub where arms supplies are smuggled from Libya and other countries. And this is why the siege is so important and the fall of Al-Fashir in November is so important strategically. That's on the kind of strategic side. But in addition to that, of course, as the Yale Humanitarian Research Lab has pointed out in several reports, the humanitarian situation is not only visible with respect to the satellite images that show the lack of activity of a human population because of the huge displacement. Approximately 60,000 people in Al-Fashir fled Al-Fashir during the fall of Al-Fashir. But also, it's really a horrible kind of humanitarian situation where you have social media, the rapid support forces backed by the United Arab Emirates and other countries, essentially are posting videos of the torture that they're engaging in El Fasher. So you have not only the displacement of the population, but the mass killings and, of course, the mass graves. All of that has come to light to really depict a humanitarian situation that's really difficult to describe, in addition, of course, to the 12 million displaced in 2.5 years of war.
So those were all of our pieces for this morning, with the last one being on Sudan. So with that, we welcome Ibrahim to the show. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning, you guys.
How are you today?
Yes, I am fine.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So in this last piece, you know, we were provided with an update regarding Al-Fasher and regarding the coverage, you know, that's been done regarding the bodies, the dead bodies. If you can please give us a comment regarding anything, you know, you can pull from the pieces that we heard from today, or you can give us a general update. Thank you.
Thank you. Really, I appreciate this opportunity. And thank you guys caring about the Sudan. Yeah, Sudan is still in the war. And thank you feeling that piece of what is happening in Sudan and it's in the war. Yeah, I appreciated that. But that is all. What I heard from you guys is all truth. And I can say that is the same things when I heard it on the ground with the people who have been in Fashir, and now they now are running from there, and now they haven't been in the escort of Fashir and somewhere in the area like Awila. And what I heard them, the Janjaweed, the event they just forced it by themselves. And also I gonna add some little bit different, because there is inside of the rabbit forces organized group as a terrorist, there is people, they have been give them order to do that, and they not yet agree for that, and now they began to tell indirect to the other people what is going on and who did that kind of committing the crime. That is the other piece began to come slowly out from inside that organization, and I like to let to other people know that is something new. And also, yes, I will give you some update in the sense of Sudan, and especially in the civilian and ordinary people is casual. Because I spoke with the Darfurian people, especially in the area of Tawila and around, and also I spoke to some people in the area of the Sudan, capital of Khartoum, and also in the area of the city is called Kosti, and they give me the same report in slightly different, because now just people, they just gathering in the four area, one in the Kosti, and that is the city, and also in the capital of the Kordofan is called Al Ubaid, and also in the area of Dabba, and also in the area of Tawila. That is all civilian people running from the Janjaweed and just coming from the area, which one is protected with the Sudanese army group and also Darfurian enjoy troop. And the situation is the people now in the area of Kordofan, that is the intensive war, and people coming from there, and they need really very help, especially like people in the Ubaid, they need the basic need as a food or medication, and need the shelters and clothing, that kind of things, as the same things in the area of Kosti, that is a city in the colossal with the Nile, near White Nile. People also requiring them, and just also in the area of Dabba. And when you compare that with the people who running from the Fashir, and especially in Darfur, in the area of Tawila, they are slightly different, because the people who they are in this city, I said, they're easy, they can get the help from the local organizations and also in the national organizations, because it's easy, the organization can easily reach them and help them with they need. But when you move in the area of Darfur, yes, there is a area of Tawila that with Darfur, with Al-Hiya, Darfur Liberation Group, troop, led with Abdelwahid, and that area, yes, people gathering there and getting the some kind of help, but the difficulty in that area is the organization who want to help the civilian, they not able to reach them because it's a very difficulty, and that is a have the some kind of the difficulty to move the staff to them. And that, if you remember, guy, when I spoke last time, when last month, when representative of United Nations went there in order to go to Fajr, the rabbit forces and his group refused because they say they're not safe to him to go there, and the thing is still restricted in that area, and people is still suffering for that, and just people still need basic need as the food, water, medication, and they need the clothes, and especially the children and disabled people and older people and women that is really very suffering for that. And I just want to people will know that, and they ask to people to hear their voice at least to get some kind of help from over there. And overall, the Sudan is still in the bad situation, but the people is still united beyond the army and the Darfurian enjoy troop, and they will fight in order to protect the people.